Some things in this world just don't make sense together. Take the silent, meditative spirituality of Buddhism. It has nothing to do with this. Well, Noah Levine thinks punk rock and Buddhism make total sense together. He's even got a name for it, Dharma Punks. Dharma Punks is also the name of his new memoir. And Strange Champ spoke with Noah Levine to find out more.
So what is a Dharma Punk?
I think that the definition that I would use is somebody who's committed to both spiritual practice and rebellion.
Don't those two sort of contradict each other?
I don't think so, actually. I think they go hand in hand. Spiritual practice and rebellion, to me, don't seem like they have any contradiction at all. Actually, I believe that spiritual practice in itself is a form of rebellion. The spiritual path is rebelling against humans' tendency towards war and towards confusion and towards greed and the misidentification with pleasure or material accumulation with true happiness or liberation.
And what about the punk path?
And the punk path also sees clearly that happiness is never going to come from the confused political, social situation we have in the world. And it rebels against all of the oppression and ignorance and all of the isms, the racism and the sexism and the classism. And so in so many ways, you know, the punk rock anti-establishment ethic and the deep spiritual commitment to social and personal transformation go hand in hand.
Tell me something about how you began on this path that wound up pulling the Dharma and punk rock together. I mean, how'd you first get drawn into the punk rock scene?
Well, when I was young, I was suffering, shall we say. I was having quite a hard time adjusting to, I don't know, being human, to being incarnated, to being in my family. And I was quite a little rebel-rouser hooligan anyways. I was getting in a lot of trouble. I was, you know, stealing and lying and acting out quite a bit, you know, as a young adolescent, kicked out of elementary school, all of that stuff. When I was 10 years old, I met a really close, you know, kind of best friend. And he had an older cousin who was probably about 13, who was a punk rocker. And this is in 1981. And one night we were going out to a movie, to a surf flick, and he put on this tape. It was the Sex Pistols. The song that I remember hearing was God Save the Queen, and especially the part where it started saying, no future. There's no future for you. There's no future for me. I really could identify and really feel like, yeah, there isn't. You know, what's the future in this confused world for any of us? My rebellion and my desire for freedom and escape and dissatisfaction led me to a place of total nihilism, of not caring at all and justifying all kinds of harmful actions that led to several incarcerations and finally to a bottoming out on drug and alcohol, addiction and abuse. And being locked up, looking at my third felony arrest at 17 years old and being terrified, you know, and really that being the most traumatic experience where it was like, I'm going to spend 25 to life in prison, you know, for this stuff. And it's not even working. It's not bringing any happiness. It's not bringing any freedom. I'm not a revolutionary. I'm a junkie.
In the book, you describe this moment. You were in jail again and really scared and, you know, whacked out on all kinds of drugs, alcohol. And you called your dad and he yet again talked to you about meditation and suggested that it was the one thing that might help you feel better. What was it about meditation, do you think, that sort of turned you around?
Well, of course, I'd heard about meditation a lot, grew up with it, was completely disinterested. associated it then and still do to some level with some pacifist, hippie, unrealistic ideal or some Asian mystical ideal. So I was quite resistant, but I was in so much pain and I really had exhausted all other avenues or, you know, places to look for satisfaction or happiness that I finally accepted, okay, I'll try this meditation with a lot of skepticism. But through the direct experience of mindfully breathing in and feeling the breath, one breath at a time, the relief that I experienced through being in the present rather than in the past with the guilt or in the future with the terror was so subtle but incredibly profound, knowing that, you know, for the first time in my life, I saw, wow, it's actually possible not to stay stuck in what the mind is saying or doing, that it's actually possible to redirect the attention to the breath, to the body, to the present moment, and alleviate some of that mental and emotional anguish.
You know, what I find so interesting about your story is that up until now, it's not that unusual a spiritual trajectory. You know, there's the person who's in the world and who's suffering terribly and does a lot of bad things and finally hits bottom, finds a spiritual path, and it pulls them out. But usually they leave their old life behind. What's really interesting to me is that you adopted the spiritual practice, but you're still going out to punk rock clubs and slam dancing.
Sure. You could see the punk movement being fueled by dissatisfaction and expressing that dissatisfaction in an aggressive way, sometimes as anger, sometimes as unity, as, you know, call for the revolution, as pointing out all of the ignorance in the world, in ourselves, in each other. But you could also completely see that this is the first noble truth of the Buddha. The Buddha's first teaching, first noble truth, the nature of human existence is dissatisfactory. It's the same thing that the punks are screaming about. Exact same foundation. And so you can see it as ignorant anger, or you can see it actually as fierce wisdom.
Noah Levine is the author of the memoir called Dharma Punks. Anne Strainchamp spoke with him.